Settlement and closing. During a real estate closing in which financing is involved, there are actually two different processes that are closing. One is the loan closing that takes place between the buyer and the lender. The closing of the loan is necessary for the second closing, the closing or execution of the sales contract between the buyer and the seller, because it provides the funds for the transaction to take place. The escrow agent, also called a settlement agent, is responsible for ensuring that the closing follows the terms agreed to by the parties in the sales contract. The escrow agent will also ensure the release of any existing liens on the property, as well as handle the payment of all closing and settlement expenses. The agent will record the deed once the title conditions and other requirements of the agreement have been satisfied. At that time, title will pass to the buyer, the funds will be dispersed to the seller, and the transaction will be completed. So, what is going on in the days leading up to the closing table? Closing the transaction. Once a seller has accepted a buyer's offer, the sales contract is drawn up, escrow is opened, and the closing process begins. Earnest money. In most cases, the buyer will put down earnest money on the property. There is no hard and fast rule about the amount of earnest money a buyer should offer as earnest money. Often, buyers will put down 1% of the purchase price. So, if the property is $200,000, then the buyer would obtain a check for $2,000. Title companies provide the service of handling escrow. Buyers typically offer earnest money that is held by the title company. Lenders release loan funds to title companies with instructions for disbursement after closing. They also must deal with disputes between parties when conflicting demand is made for the release of earnest money. Opening title. The title company will open a file, or open the title, upon receipt of a contract. The contract must be delivered to the title company promptly after all parties have signed. Title companies in Texas perform many functions in a transaction, including title examination, escrow services, transaction closing, and the closing of a loan. The title company will begin the title examination to prepare a title commitment. A title examination is title research done by the examiner. The title commitment is divided into sections called schedules and must be delivered by the title company within 20 days of its receipt of the contract. Schedule A includes basic information on the property and the transaction. It would be prudent to verify that the owner of the property listed in Schedule A is actually the seller who signed the contract and that the legal description is correct. Schedule B lists exceptions from coverage, including the standard promulgated exceptions. It will list many items, including easements, extraterritorial jurisdiction issues, and building setbacks that are of interest. Schedule C of the commitment lists exceptions to title, items not covered by the policy. These issues range from minor issues that can be easily resolved up to, and including deal-killing problems that cannot be resolved in a timely manner, if ever. One of the more common issues discovered is that of unreleased liens, which are still on record that may need to be resolved prior to closing. Other issues include judgments that have been filed, Liz Pendens lawsuits, which are pending lawsuits affecting the property, and unpaid taxes or other assessments. The buyer, seller, and agents should read the commitment and discuss any curative measures with the title company that may need to be taken prior to closing. The agent should always refrain from expressing any opinion as to the quality or sufficiency of title or of the adequacy of a survey. Under no circumstances should the agent attempt to dissuade a buyer or seller from seeking the advice of an attorney. Title policy coverage. A title insurance policy is a contract between the title company and the insured. The title insurance company agrees to compensate or reimburse the insured against losses sustained as a result of defects in title, other than those exceptions listed in the policy. The owner's policy is for the benefit of the buyer and is in effect so long as the purchaser owns the property. The policy is written with protection to the purchaser up to the purchase price of the property. If, after issuing a title insurance policy, someone claims an interest in the purchaser's property, a title company will defend the title in court and pay for any actual loss under the following circumstances. A lien is filed against the title because a previous owner failed to pay. A mortgage or deed of trust. A judgment, tax, or special assessment. A charge by a property owner's or condominium association. There is a lien on the property for labor and materials furnished by a contractor without the purchaser's consent. Generally, the policy protects the purchaser if they buy a house already built, but not if the purchaser owns the land and contracts with a builder to build a home. There are other liens or claims that are not listed in the policy exceptions. There may be leases, contracts, or options that were not recorded in the public records and disclosed to the purchaser. The title policy failed to disclose legal restrictions on how the property can be used. There is an easement that is not in public records that the purchaser did not know about. The title policy assures the purchaser a legal right of access to the property. Someone did not properly sign a document in the chain of title, or a notary public made an error on the document, made an error in recording the document at the county clerk's office, or failed to deliver the deed according to statutory requirements. A deed or other document in the chain of title is invalid as a result of forgery, fraud against the rightful owner, a signature given under force, or a signature given by a person legally incompetent to sign or claiming to be someone else. If the transaction includes financing, the title company will issue two policies. The owner's policy is for the buyer's benefit and is in effect so long as the purchaser owns the property. The policy is written with protection to the purchaser up to the purchase price of the property. While the question of who pays for the owner's policy is negotiable, it is generally paid for by the seller. The lender's policy, formerly known as a mortgagee's title policy, is issued in the amount of the loan. The lender's policy coverage decreases over time as the loan is amortized. The lender's policy is normally paid for by the buyer. In general, a title policy will not cover problems with title that occur after the date of the policy. It will also not protect the buyer from problems that the purchaser creates, or from problems unrelated to the purchaser's or the lender's property interests. The policy also will not cover any special exceptions, such as a public utility easement added by the title company during the title examination process. The company must make the purchaser aware of each exception and describe it using common language so that the purchaser can easily locate the reason for the exception in public records. In addition, a title policy will not generally cover the following promulgated exceptions found in all Texas policies. These exceptions are promulgated by the Texas Department of Insurance. Restrictive covenants limiting how the property may be used. Schedule B lists these restrictions. Certain taxes and assessments. The title company ensures that all property taxes and assessments are paid for the most current year available. However, certain tax exemptions claimed by previous owners could result in more taxes being assessed against the property in the future. The lender may ask that its mortgagee policy delete the exception for subsequent taxes and assessments by any taxing authority for prior years due to change in land usage or ownership. In such cases, the title company may require that the taxes be calculated and paid. The issue here is the possibility of there being rollback fees or other assessments that might become due because of the sale of the property. Utility easements created by the dedication deed or plat for the subdivision in which the property is located. Liens created as part of the financing described in paragraph 3 of the contract. That is, the policy does not cover the penalties of the buyer's failure to pay for the property. Reservations or exceptions otherwise permitted by this contract, or as may be approved by the buyer in writing, for example, a reservation of all or part of the minerals by the seller. The standard printed exception as to marital rights. This exception would relate to homestead, community property, or survivorship rights of any spouse of any insured. The standard printed exception as to waters, tidelands, beaches, streams, and related matters. This exception addresses several issues, including the rights of government entities and others to access land from the mean low tide line to the vegetation line and issues relating to the construction of bulkheads and other improvements on waterfront properties. The standard printed exception as to discrepancies, conflicts, shortages in area or boundary lines, encroachments or protrusions, or overlapping improvements. The buyer may elect to have the exception amended to read shortages in area by checking the appropriate box in paragraph 6A, item 8 in the contract. The seller or buyer will pay, depending on the box selected in the paragraph. The fee for the amendment is 5% of the cost of an owner's title policy for a residential transaction and 15% for a commercial transaction. Other items and issues not covered by a title policy include violations of building and zoning ordinances and other laws and regulations related to land use, land improvements, land division, and environmental protection. Losses resulting from rights claimed by parties in possession, such as renters or anyone else occupying the land. If the purchaser objects to the exception, the title company may inspect the property and delete the exception from the policy. The title company may charge for the inspection. Condemned land, unless a condemnation notice appeared in the public record on the policy date or the condemnation occurred before the policy date. Homestead, community property, or survivorship rights of a policyholder's spouse. Texas homestead laws address the rights of a spouse or survivors of a property owner. In paragraph 6B of the TREC 1-4 family contract, resale, the title company has 20 days after they receive the contract and earnest money to issue a title commitment. The title commitment is based upon the results of the title examination. It outlines the exceptions and conditions for the issuance of a title insurance policy. Paragraph 6C addresses surveys. If the seller has an existing survey that is to be used, 6C item 1 is checked, and the seller is given a certain number of days in which to produce the survey note that the seller is also required to provide an affidavit, Form T-47, along with the survey. The survey must be acceptable to the title company and the buyer's lender. One possible issue is that the seller's survey was not done for the buyer. While the buyer may rely on the survey, the buyer did not purchase it, nor did the buyer hire the surveyor. The buyer in this situation will probably have no cause of action against the surveyor in the event the survey is incorrect. Paragraph 6C. Items 2 and 3 will be used if a new survey is to be obtained at either buyer's or seller's expense. It might be advisable to ensure that the buyer has obtained loan approval prior to paying for the survey if it is to be obtained at the buyer's expense in either 6C item 1 or 6C item 2. The time allowed for objections in paragraph 60 is negotiated between the buyer and seller and is usually very limited, often as little as 3 days. Because of this limitation, the buyer must decide regarding title and survey issues and may need to seek an attorney's advice. Inspection. Unless the buyer waives the home inspection contingency, the property will be inspected. The purpose of the property inspection is to provide the client with information regarding the general condition of the property at the time of inspection. The report will be delivered to the individual for whom the inspection was performed. In Texas, inspection reports must be provided to the client on the required TREC forms. According to the TREC Property Inspection Report, REI Form 7-6, the inspector is looking at the following systems. Structural systems, which encompass the floor to ceiling of the building, interior and exterior. Electrical systems, which include service panels, circuits, and lighting fixtures. Heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems. HVAC includes all heating and cooling equipment and associated ducts and vents. Plumbing systems, the plumbing supply, all fixtures, drains, water heating equipment, and hydrotherapy massage equipment is inspected. Appliances. All built-in appliances are inspected. Not included in this category are refrigerators, washers, dryers, or separate tabletop items. And optional systems. Optional systems include swimming pools and spas, as well as landscape sprinkler systems. The TREC inspection report is a valuable tool for buyers, upon which they can make an informed determination about the condition of a property before purchasing it. Buyers may make the purchase of a property contingent upon the inspection report and may terminate a contract within a specified amount of time based upon the inspector's findings. The buyer can accept the property condition as is or accept the property as is if the seller completes any repairs and treatments specified in the contract. If the lender requires certain repairs and the buyer and the seller do not agree to pay for those repairs, the contract will terminate and the buyer will be refunded his or her earnest money. If the cost of repairs required by the lender is over 5% of the agreed-upon sales price of the property, the buyer may terminate the contract and receive his or her earnest money. Some buyers will want to have the property inspected for additional issues such as termites, mold, or radon. Appraisal. Lenders will require that a buyer who is taking out a mortgage on the property have an appraisal performed to ensure that the home is worth the loan amount being requested. The lender will order the appraisal, and if the home appraises for the purchase price, then the parties move closer to closing. However, if the home appraises for much lower than the purchase price, the parties have some options to consider. 1. The seller can agree to lower the asking price to a level that is acceptable to the lender. 2. The buyer can come up with additional money out of pocket to bridge the gap between the loan amount and the asking price. 3. The buyer and the seller can meet in the middle. Or 4. The buyer can terminate the contract. The lender will verify that the buyer still qualifies for the loan by checking his or her credit report and debt-to-income ratio. If the buyer's financials are still in line with the requirements of the chosen loan product, the lender will begin the underwriting process. Once the financing is in place, it is time to move on to the next step in the process. Survey. The survey is used to determine whether or not the information in the sales contract concerning the property's boundaries is accurate. Lenders require a survey because boundary coverage is often required. In Texas, the survey must be conducted by a professional land surveyor registered by the Texas Board of Professional Land Surveying and who is acceptable to the title company and the lender. The cost of a survey is negotiable, paid at closing by either the buyer or seller. There are three basic options for obtaining a survey. 1. The seller can furnish the buyer and title company with an existing survey that may be acceptable to the lender and title company and a residential real property affidavit, the T-47 affidavit. 2. The buyer can obtain a new survey at his or her own expense. The buyer has the number of days written into the contract after the effective date to obtain the survey. 3. The seller can obtain a new survey at his or her own expense. The seller has the number of days written into the contract after the effective date to furnish the new survey to the buyer. If the seller fails to provide either an existing survey or an affidavit within the time written into the contract, the buyer will obtain the new survey at the seller's expense. If the seller's existing survey is unacceptable to the title company or the buyer's lender, the buyer must obtain a new survey no later than 3 days prior to the closing date. The parties may decide who will pay for the new survey. When the buyer or agent discuss financing with the mortgage broker, the broker may stipulate that the lender does not require a survey. While that may be true, the lender, in many cases, requires an endorsement to the title policy, removing the exception to areas and boundaries. If such an endorsement is required, it will trigger a requirement for an acceptable existing or new survey. Be sure to determine lender requirements early to avoid a last-minute closing delay for want of a survey. What to do right before the closing? Before closing, the seller should complete the following activities. Gather all documentation, warranties, manuals, relating to appliances being conveyed with the property for the buyer. Put the house keys, mailbox keys, if applicable, and garage door remote controls together in one easy-to-find location for the buyer. Schedule movers. Cancel homeowners' insurance policies. Clean the property. Do the final walkthrough to ensure that nothing is left behind. Lock up the property for the buyer. Arrange to have the utilities canceled and transferred after the buyer takes possession of the property. Fill out forms for change of address and cancel cable service, yard service, pool cleaning if needed. Before closing, the buyer should complete the following activities. Obtain homeowner's insurance coverage. Obtain title insurance. Do a final walkthrough of the property 1 to 3 days before closing to verify the condition of the property. Review the closing documents from the lender. Obtain certified funds for the closing. Cashier's check, certified check, wire transfer. Arrange for the utilities to be turned on. Schedule move-in date and moving truck. And fill out forms for change of address. A buyer's agent is beneficial, keeping the buyer organized and reminding him or her of critical dates. Many agents will have a checklist of tasks and their associated dates that must be accomplished in the days leading up to the closing. It is the agent's job to manage the closing process for the buyer. Agents should stay in contact with the buyer to remind them of the important dates and any tasks that the buyer needs to complete. Buyers should indicate their preferred method of contact to the agents, either text, phone call, or email, and make themselves available and ready to respond to the agent when they are contacted. What not to do leading up to closing. Agents often advise their buyers and sellers regarding what to do during the closing process. However, there are some activities that each party should avoid that could affect the closing and kill the deal. Buyers should be warned not to open new credit cards or lines of credit while in the closing process. They should not make any major purchases on credit that could skew their loan-to-income ratio. Buyers need to understand that any significant changes to their credit could tank the deal, even if they were pre-approved for the loan. Sellers should not make any major changes to the property during the closing period. Requested repairs are fine, of course, but beyond that, no drastic changes to the appearance or condition of the home should be performed. The buyer's agent will recommend that the buyer do a walkthrough of the property in the final days, leading up to the closing, to ensure that the condition of the property is consistent with its condition when the contract was signed. When all requirements have been met under the contract, the parties are ready to close. Because the closing date in the contract is an on or before date, the closing can be scheduled when all parties are ready and the loan is ready to be funded. Closing day. Closing day is the day that both parties to the transaction have been anticipating. The seller cannot wait to hand over the keys to the property, and the buyer cannot wait to collect them. It is an exciting and stressful time for the buyer and the seller. However, many other people work behind the scenes to ensure that all documentation relating to the transaction is ready for the closing table. The closing might be done with all parties at the same time. Some agents prefer to schedule separate closings for the seller and the buyer. Regardless, agents should attend the closing and be prepared to answer questions raised by clients. During the closing, the title agent will review the closing statements with the buyer to ensure that the closing disclosure and the sales contract match up. This will include a review of the names of the parties, the address of the property, the agreed-upon purchase price of the property, and the loan information. Once all pertinent information has been reviewed and found to be accurate, the buyer and seller will sign all of the closing documents, and the buyer's certified funds will be handed over.